You're damn right we start now, and I'm going to be completely honest with you. I was entirely expecting, after that just rousing story by Seth Payne on where he was in his moment with the OJ chase, for our guy Sean Pendergast to be like, and D&M Auto Leasing is where you can get your own white Bronco if you choose.
Did I fumble that one?
No, not at all. You handled it properly. I was just afraid that was where this was going to go.
Speaking of white Broncos.
Do they have a white Bronco?
I mean, they can get it for you if you want to. That's the way the D&M Auto Leasing works.
D&M will beat the bushes to find that vehicle for you.
I'm pretty sure that's how it works, ain't it, right?
That's right.
It would be a new white Bronco.
All right.
Not the old one.
Yes, that is true. They do have the new edition. Although, never mind. Whole different thing. Don't want to go down that.
Looking at it right now, D&M Leasing.
Oh, really?
Oh, white Bronco, baby.
You about to get it?
I've gotten two vehicles through there. This is not a spot, is it?
No. No. I guess I should move around. Huh?
Lopez, like, I ain't getting paid for this.
I bought two white Broncos from D&M Leasing. I'm like, there's a psychopath right there.
Like, all right, you care a little bit too much about this OJ thing. All right, let's get going here on a Wednesday in the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you. Rock with us. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Attitude. And of course, Figgy Fig on the ones and twos, as he always, or often at least, is. You know, sometimes he goes and reads to kids and things like that.
Yeah.
The altruistic Figgy Fig. But you can get involved with the program, and you always should get involved with the program here on the text line, 713-572-4610. Mm-hmm. And also appreciation to the Mokarem Injury Law Firm. For the live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on Twitch, 610 Houston. All right, so, and here on Twitch, by the way, McFuddlebutt, that is the name that is on Twitch, do not say anything to me about it, says, Ford discontinued a Bronco line in order to get away from the optics of the OJ
But they have it back.
But yeah, they did bring
it back. They got the new ones back.
Yeah. I mean, what was that?
The Sport. I'm looking at the Sport.
Not even a half decade ago, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, just less than that.
Yeah. About 2 years ago.
That's right. Sorry. Y'all are already coming in with the hilarious on the text line. I appreciate y'all. How did y'all's evenings go yesterday? Because mine was filled with a lot of sports in a way that I do not usually anticipate for this time of year.
Yeah, it was the All-Star game was passing thoughts worthy, in my view. It was a sponge worthy, as they say.
That's right.
On Seinfeld.
Shout out to Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
I surprised myself how much I enjoyed that.
I did as well.
Yeah.
You said passing thoughts worthy. Do we want to?
You want to do some passing thoughts?
I feel like we
want to do it right now.
Let's do it. One of these days, I'll tell you exactly what I said. But today is not that
today
day.
Today is not that day.
Today
okay,
is
good.
Not that day. So you had as much fun as I did. Figgy, did you watch much of this?
I watched some of it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The All-Star game, baseball All-Star game, we can pretty much say it. I mean, it's the best All-Star game. And I don't think a lot of people would argue that too much. I only had one minor gripe, and then I'm going to get into all the good stuff. The minor gripe was... You say 8 o'clock, you say 7 o'clock Central, start the damn game at 7 o'clock. The game at 7.
Agreed. Strong agreed, but I feel like that's just sports
and
TV now.
Like these days they say 8:11 kickoff. It's damn near 8:11. You know, the 12:04 kickoffs at Texans game. It's right at 12:04. They time these things out so well.
Yeah, the only things that kick off right or like start up right on time, I think, are NFL games,
college
football games, and then... international soccer.
NBA is the worst with it, man.
NBA like half hour sometimes, 45 minutes.
But baseball games, 7:05, we all know,
right? First pitch, yeah.
7:05, first pitch. It's right at 7:05.
That's fair. It is a betrayal from like their typical MO on the sport.
Yeah, so they started at 8 Eastern, 8:25 Eastern. And, you know, a lot of kids, their only real introduction to Major League Baseball and these superstars is the All-Star game. And they, you know, they got to go to bed at 9.
But now?
Even now.
Nah,
yeah.
Dog.
No, I'm saying if they're casual fans. Yeah, if they're casual fans.
If you're a casual fan, your exposure to any sport is social media.
Well, of course. But I'm saying in terms of just like watching a game, you know, from start to finish, how many do they watch in Omaha, you know, or whatever? It's not as much. They do social media. They know players from their video games. They play a lot of video games. But like actually watching these guys in action it's a different world for kids.
I don't know if that's how the kids are experiencing.
I'm talking kids. No, I hear you. Yeah, I'm talking kids, not high schoolers.
No, I understand.
I would like to see how kids experience stuff like this, though.
Yeah, no, it's social media. It's snippets. It's video games. But watch a ball game. You know, watch a ball game.
I mean, what age are you talking kids?
8 to 10.
Okay, are those, I'm not trying to sound old, but are those kids on social media like that?
Yes, I think so.
It's eight-year-old?
We're veering down an entire different branch.
I'm ain't trying to get into it. I'm wondering, are they?
I think for the most part they are, which is terrifying in a lot of different ways. Imagine like creating things that are going to exist with you in a kind of digital profile forever.
See, I think you and I are talking about two different things. I'm talking about watching the ball game. You know, started on time.
Yeah, but I think you find interest in social, and then by the time you want to watch a game, like, it's all super accessible in a way that it wasn't previously. But again, that's not here or there.
Next passing thought. Let's not bury the lead. There was a couple things that happened, a lot of things that happened before this. The swing off was fantastic. The swing off was, I didn't even know what to expect. It hadn't happened. You know, I think they started it in 2023. They decided to go with the swing off if it ended up in a tie.
Yeah, it had to happen relatively recently because this was the first one that we actually executed.
Yeah, and it gave the game some drama, some entertainment, and the right kind of finish. I thought, anyway.
Yeah.
With the hat trick, look out, Chop House. National League takes the lead 4-3. Unbelievable.
3-for-3, man.
You want to know how much of a dork I am? Above what you already know?
Launch angle.
No, not even that. See, like,
the velocity on that.
Don't get ahead of me. I got different levels of dork. All right. Haha. One of my first thoughts once they go into the swing off. How does the final ending of this get notated?
Oh, that's another passing thought. I'll skip ahead.
Okay, cool. Because I was like, will this show up as 7-6? Will this show up as 6-6? And then with parentheses, like they'll do in international soccer where it's like you win 4-3 on penalties or whatever. And I was like, or do they do this as all these home runs are runs in addition? No. And so like, ultimately 4-3, I think was the...
Like, what were those?
Or no.
Or like tennis?
6-5, where it's just like, all right.
14-8.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I was like, does it end up looking like that? Again, doesn't matter to anybody. But for me, I was like, huh.
Okay. One little, that's funny you say that because this is my last passing thought, but we're skipping ahead because it's relevant here.
Thank you.
I looked at the box score for that very reason. What is the box? Because the box score is going to be ultimately what stays in history.
Yeah, and this is a game where box score actually matters in a way that it kind of doesn't in other sports.
One thing bothered me about the box score, but to answer your point, it was 6-6.
Okay.
So the box score said 6-6. This is what bothered me. There's no winning pitcher.
Oh,
I looked. I said, how do they do the winning and losing?
It was no winning pitcher or loser. It was somebody that blew a save, though.
Yeah, there was no
winning.
Yeah, that was it.
All-star games got to have a winning pitcher, man.
No, they don't. What?
Well, every baseball game has a winning
somebody
pitcher.
Somebody won.
Every baseball game has a winning pitcher. But I get it.
You know who won? We won.
The people. The people won.
Yeah. The friends we made along the way.
Isn't that weird, though? No winning pitcher.
Oh, it's odd.
No losing pitcher.
It doesn't hit me that hard, though.
Yeah,
I'm
just
not
thought
tripping
it was
off it.
Bizarre.
Definitely.
Another passing thought here. I was like into it big time early when Ludacris and Jermaine Dupri got out there, and then they had the introductions, and they're doing their thing. And then I kind of was scrolling on social media, and Ludacris and Jermaine Dupri, it was kind of like mixed reactions to it. But I liked it. I enjoyed it.
I didn't actually listen to as much of it because I just saw that they were performing. I think I was on the phone at this point. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, that's cool. I was a little shocked with the way that like they went real Atlanta on in a way that I don't typically imagine MLB. Like MLB tends to be like, hey, we're dropping into your city to do baseball. We're appreciating the area, but we're doing baseball.
Yeah.
In this instance, it felt like they were doing like something similar to the NBA where they're like, no, we're doing Atlanta in the baseball space a little bit.
Speaking, did you like it?
I thought it was fine, man. I ain't see like a bad thing going on with it. But I agree with Red. I do feel like they leaned into Atlanta like throughout the whole weekend. Yeah.
I will say, I don't think that this carries on next year. Like, I don't think that this is the way that they continue to go about it, which I do find to be interesting. Although, that's off of my assumption. They very well could just go, which I looked it up and I already forgot where All-Star is next year. But they could just drop into whatever city and be like, nah, we doing the same thing. Who is your go-to icon? Yeah. Let's get them up here and let's really lean into the culture.
Yeah, it's possible. You'll get more of this next passing thought when we get to the question of the day. But that Hank Aaron tribute damn near choked me up. It was so cool.
Hey,
and, to hear Milo Hamilton, to hear Milo Hamilton again, that was pretty damn cool.
Uh-oh. I get to do a thing here. I get to be curmudgeon that corrects John Lopez in a way that he often does to others.
What's that?
That man's name is Henry Aaron. He preferred to be called Henry Aaron. Yes. He was not actually very fond of people calling him Hank.
Ooh. Hank Aaron is a common way that people describe him, though.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, some of us like Henry Aaron more to respect his wishes. I don't know. That's all I'm saying.
Cal Riley didn't like Big Dumper.
But he did.
They were calling
him
that. They were calling him that on the broadcast.
He does now.
Another passing thought. If you didn't love the players wearing their team jerseys, I cannot help you. It was so much better.
It was fun.
It's so much better.
It looks so good. The only thing that I would go, if I wanted to be real greedy, is instead of grays, give me full color, baby.
Yeah.
Like that's just me being greedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
White's grays, love it.
I never liked the grays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never liked the tan or the gray.
Colors would have been pretty sweet. Yeah,
and I already told you exactly where I'm going with that. I'm looking at shortstop. Let me see that green, baby. Yeah. There's something about that vibrant green and gold, not to be, you know, riding, so to say.
Yeah.
But there's something about that particular jersey. But there's a lot of other jerseys that would have been really, really fun to see.
Another couple here for you guys. I actually was very happy for Kyle Tucker making that nice catch out there. I guess he's just one of those players that some players, when they leave, you're like, whatever. Or you don't like him. Kyle Tucker, I'm always going to like Kyle Tucker.
That's interesting. I'd be interested to see how everybody else feels about that. 713-572-4610. What is your relationship still
I'm always gonna
with
like
Kyle
him.
Tucker?
Yeah,
right.
Always.
Well, because he is one of those players that exists in the way that he left.
Some people don't.
I've always found it weird. Like when guys leave in like either free agency or something similar to that where they, I guess you could say, possibly played a hand, quote unquote, in their exit where, you know, he very much was going to drive a hard bargain. In that negotiation, we understood that was going to be the case, and that ultimately saw the Astros trade him. I see sometimes with a home team, which is not necessarily inherent to Houston or baseball, people not necessarily latch on in the same way as guys that absolutely did everything they could to remain in a place, but maybe just ended up somewhere else.
Yeah. ABS system is here to stay, right?
Dude, I was amazed at how well it worked, but then also how consistently correct all the players were.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is really interesting because it gives us a little bit of a dynamic outside of like the mechanics, which I think you're getting to, which I think you're right.
It's here to stay, yeah.
I think that also it does, again, show up a little bit, which of course is the baseball parlance, but really it kind of highlights, hey, man, these umps have a lot there's a lot of mistakes on the edges here. And of course, the mistakes on the edges, if you consider them the whole, are really not that much, but who determines how much? Like, who determines what is too much? And I guess is the question. Because there was a lot of instances that went from, oh, this is now a 1-2 count to, actually, no, he's out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's here to stay, and I think that's why it's here to stay. Another couple here real quick. There's no question, right? Baseball is the best mic'd up sport. Right?
Good take.
Yeah.
Good take. I
think so.
In various different ways, because I do love like getting into basketball and getting the like the interspersed like, cuts, or really in football where we get the mic'd up
nothing,
after.
But well, after's
I
okay.
Would,
but
I would put basketball in last place.
Yeah.
When it comes to mic'd up,
that's fair. I'm not gonna bite you on it, but I mean, I'm
baseball's
talking about
so good.
Can you give me a little bit of Clayton Kershaw?
Because
this is the thing. Mic'd up is cool with like when we get during on the Sunday night broadcast where they got the shortstop or the outfielder.
Yeah.
Dog, I was so enamored listening to a pitcher go about his work. Now, of course, this is atypical by a long stretch. But listening to Clayton Kershaw do this on the mound as he's going was really fun.
And we're actually going to get to talk baseball with Clayton. I can't believe you're doing this, Clayton.
I don't can't either. I'm going to try to throw some cheese real quick. Hold on.
Hold on, like you're on the phone.
I'm going to try to throw some cheese real quick. That was the Tucker catch. Yeah.
There it is. One more. That was sick. Yeah, so he goes, that was sick. I love it. One point where he's like, all right, I think I'm going to throw a change up here. Let's see what Will says. Oh, no, Will wants me to throw a curveball. All right, cool. And then he throws it and it gets over. He's like, oh, yeah, he's excited. For me, also, there's a little thing in there. You hear the grunt as he's, and I'm like, okay, as a dude who's never been a pitcher, especially not at no high level, and you really don't get to hear that up close. It's like, oh, yeah, the reminder that they are generating so much like thrust and energy in that space. It was cool to kind of hear it actually happening. Like, no, this, it looks like they're just kind of like flailing their arm. Yeah. Like, no, this is a real generating of energy here. That's real work up there.
And Smoltz saying, throw the cutter. He goes, I don't have a cutter.
I, ca- kind of want to hear more pitchers and players like that mic'd up for the wrong reasons, though.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah, sure, of course.
Yeah, if they hit somebody by mistake or quote-unquote by mistake, I just want to hear the trash talking.
Yeah. And I got a couple more we can get to.
Sure.
Later. Yeah,
we'll try and sprinkle this in. The final thing I'll say about the mic'd up moment, it was really cool to hear as Dave Roberts comes to get him out of there, coming in, like, and all the ball stays with you, all the guys in the infield, you know, kind of saluting him on what is going to be his final All-Star game appearance. So I thought that was kind of cool. I don't know how.
And then he says, suck it, McDumper.
I thought that was really fun. I thought that was really fun. All-Star game. Shout out to baseball giving us an All-Star game that was
worthy. Look at us breaking down an All-Star game.
Dude, that's what we're
here for. A game that don't even matter.
But shout out to MLB for giving us an All-Star game that was at least interesting enough to be worth the time on a Wednesday in this period of the summer. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, the new safety for your Houston Texans, sat down with the Pivot Podcast. I always love this podcast because guys seem to be very open and honest. And if there's a guy that we want to hear get into his mindset a little bit, it's C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Let's hear a little bit from that next. You know, figure they're going to start calling us a toilet show. They're going to say we do the toilet humor now. So what's going to happen there? All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. That is John Lopez, the OG. I'm Reginald Atatula. Figgy Fig hanging out with you as always. Get involved with the program, 713-572-4610. I did have a moment right before the intro started where my brain just clicked something that Lopez said in the previous segment where you're like, oh, man, the game starting so late at 8:25 Eastern. What about the babies? The babies are on summer, dog.
Well, it doesn't matter.
They have summer vacation.
They got bedtime.
The hell it don't,
no,
man.
They don't.
Them kids be staying up all night.
Yeah.
They're trying to, but their moms and dads, see, I can tell you guys aren't parents. Your bedtime is 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock.
Summer, though. Well, you know what? That might not
now
even
you're
be
talking a like 8 and 10.
But see, sports is different, though, man. You'll let your kids stay up to watch a game, though, right?
My dad always did. That was the best thing about him.
Yeah, if your kid really wanted to watch the A&M game or something like that, you ain't going to make him go to bed. Well, you're going to let him watch
different.
The whole game.
Now you're boxing me into a corner.
I will also say, you were assuming that all parents operate the same because I was up, baby. In the summer, if I had, on the weekends, if I had nowhere to go, I was up.
It was one time my parents made me go to bed, and this was during, I want to say it was March Madness. That's when Kent State made their run.
Yeah.
And Antonio Gates was balling out, and they had a game like 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning or something. And she was like, turn that TV off. But she did not understand. I'm like, I got to watch this game.
Oh, man.
That was the only time.
Yeah, okay.
And that was 2-1 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good reasonable when you, especially because
it might have been a school night too.
Did you have the TV up? Was you making all that hooting and hollering?
No, that's the thing. I had the TV on low.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all I had the TV on low.
And sometimes it's not about you being up. Sometimes it's just like you are disturbing my sleep. Right
now. I was not that type of person. That like that type of person. But
well, you were trying to get away with something is what you were doing.
Nah.
All right. Let's turn to C.J. Gardner-Johnson, the safety that now plays for the Houston Texans or will play for the Houston Texans after a trade in the offseason, sent Kenyon Green, the former left guard, to Philly in exchange for C.J. And he sat down with the Pivot Podcast, which I think they do a fantastic job. Like they're really good. I think, Lopez, you would agree, like from a journalistic perspective, asking really good questions, probing questions that get you to places that you want to be while also fostering an environment where players clearly feel a safety and a willingness to open up. And I think C.J. Gardner-Johnson is exactly the type of dude that you want in this space because of something that ends up coming up a good amount in this hour podcast because he is a dude who feels very much misunderstood, misrepresented. And so a space where you have former players that can speak to him in a way where they bridge the gap between, hey, we are going to try and shed some light on this, but without putting you in a place that feels like it is misrepresenting who you are.
Yeah.
So with that, they start, and we'll talk about this a few times, I think, today, because I think there's a lot there that was very interesting to get to. But they started by asking him why he's no longer an Eagle, because there was a whole big point and conversation that happened within C.J. Gardner-Johnson leaving Philadelphia under what circumstances, what were the reasons behind it, and it very much landed heavily with C.J. This was what he said.
Why are you now a Houston Texan and not a Philadelphia Eagle?
Scared of a competitor.
You said they're scared of a competitor?
Yeah. Simple as that.
What you mean?
You can't program a dog. Certain dogs, you can't say if you're a dog and then it's time to go out there. Hey, we need you. Look at the Washington Commanders game. I got kicked out. I was nowhere near the play. nowhere near the play. Everybody was fed up with me. And I'm like, if you go back to that play, I celebrated with Reed Blankenship. And I'm getting cursed from head to toe on the sideline and looked at Vic even get on me. I'm like, what did I do? So, you know, people in the box, they call down and they're trying to figure out why am I getting kicked. They was trying to reverse the call. Because guys come off the sideline. Dude, if you watch that game, the game was already heavily. That's what sparked it. Then we had like a little scrum between at practice. Nothing. It's just offense versus defense. But who's the culprit of it? Me, I guess, because I guess we're competing. When you tell them the period is live, you're telling us not to compete during a live period, but it's a live period. We're competing to get ready for a playoff game. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. It's like little antic things that, okay, so how you want to play football?
This was very interesting to me because I don't know how it hit you initially before you heard the context of the rest of the conversation, but it sounded to me like this was more than just the play in the Commanders game.
Oh, absolutely. I think he used that as an opportunity to try and highlight it to some degree.
Right.
No, this is very clearly just a larger thing, and I think it really does underscore the idea that he feels like he's misunderstood in a large facet.
I'm glad you said that because I think ultimately, yes, he's misunderstood. And I think ultimately, frankly, I'm really excited to have C.J. Gardner on this team.
Agreed.
Gardner Johnson on this team. I think there was maybe something to the way the Eagles perceived him. I think there was probably something there. You know, if they told him, you know, whatever, you know, the antics as he called it, you know, taper that back. I think that maybe he did not the way they wanted him to. But that set that aside, that's the first part of it. The second part of it is, and you'll hear it, I think he did realize that. And I think he did taper it back a little bit. So what I'm saying is I think we're going to get the best version of C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I think he was going over that line a little bit, at least in the Eagles' perspective. We weren't there. And I think he was. But I also think he's realized, you know what, maybe I do need to taper that back a little bit.
To that end, this was C.J. Gardner-Johnson in response to a question where he was asked, how do you overcome the narratives about you?
Just keep winning. Just keep winning and don't take away from what's already there. I think that's the biggest thing. Just keep winning. I think when you talk about football and your career, it's winning football games. You can't talk about a loser. Winning and staying out the way and making sure that you're doing the best thing you can do for the organization, yourself, and your family. I think, like you said, and not even making outbursts, not even doing, like you said, antics on the field, things happen. Like I said, take the high road like you've been doing.
And I think that was kind of speaking to what you're talking about, like the ways in which he's learned it. And of course, it sounds like that's just a thing that he's saying. But even in the conversation, he talked about how Malcolm Jenkins, when he was, when he was in New Orleans, Malcolm Jenkins was a dude that he looked up to with high regard. Mm-hmm. And Malcolm was in there telling him, hey, like, this is how you were pro. Like, this is what you do in order to make yourself, have longevity in the league. And it's, you know, those types of things. And obviously you can see the ways in which he's trying to integrate that into him. But yeah, it's on the text line from the 832, someone said, bro just sounds like a dude who can't take responsibility for his actions. And I can understand how you get there.
Yeah.
Right. Cause I come,
the first that, part like we just talked about,
the thought that I kept coming to is, I do think that C.J. Gardner-Johnson is misunderstood, but I also simultaneously think he's a dude who's not easy to understand.
I think he was not misunderstood early on, at least from the Eagles' perspective, as I mentioned. But I think you can get there now. And the other thing that jumped out at me is he was talking about in the Super Bowl, how he all of a sudden he had this, you know, this moment of clarity and decided to just take deep breaths to calm down. To just be more relaxed.
Oh, I think that's a little bit. I think that's a little bit of a different. I'll give you the context of that one.
Well, I heard it. All I'm saying is, like, I think he realized I don't have to be that dog that he talked about all the time and go over the line. I can just do my job. I think at one point he said, "I don't care about tackles. I don't care about interceptions. I just want to be able to make sure nobody gets behind me."
Yeah, no,
he sort of calmed himself down.
And I don't think that was that. I don't think that he was saying that was Super Bowl as a landmark for when this happened. I thought he used that as an example of what he does in the biggest moments. Yeah. Which again, I'll play that audio because there was a lot to decipher. But going back to what I was saying, I really do think that he is a dude that has a level of complexity, and I think that he very much opens himself to the idea that he is not perfect. Mm-hmm. He does have, and he even harkens back to in this interview with the Pivot Podcast, like things in his childhood, and you could tell that if he hadn't done some therapy, he's done, like, as we all have, some like kind of street therapy, mm-hmm. where we've talked things out with various people and kind of try and find some level of, I don't know, genesis for these things. But he's taken this back to, you know, things with his stepfather, things with his parents, and the reasons why maybe he responds to different stimuli in various ways. So I don't think that there's a lack of accountability within it. I do think, though, that there are some patterns that happen and some maybe justification that happens, which, again, I don't try and use as a judgment, because I think we all do some level of justification for our actions. I do think, though, that makes him a little bit complex. It's like, he is not a dude that you go, if this input goes in, I know exactly what the output is going to be in any given time.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes it a little bit difficult to understand where he's coming from and what he's feeling at all times. But I don't think that he's, one, a bad dude, and I don't think that he's and I think that's one of the things that he very much pushes back on, that he seems to be often characterized as either a dude who's a bad dude or a dude who's like a wild cannon, mm-hmm. that he is not quite. He feels like there is a logic, a logic to the way that he operates. It's just a little bit obscure to, I think, people in a more general sense, if that makes sense.
I think he was a wild cannon at various points.
Sure.
And that sort of led to this reputation, and I'll go back to it. I mean, this is what I'm excited about. I think because of that and all the things that have happened to where he's taken a step back and sort of reinvent, I guess, is for lack of a better way, himself, I think we're going to get the best version of him. I think the Texans are going to get the best version of him.
Do it kind of worry you that it could maybe backfire as well, though?
I mean, I think that's natural. I think that's more than a natural inclination, and does he revert or whatever? But I think he's mature enough that, again, I think he's going to be than fine.
Yeah, I always think about, like, when stuff is not going as planned,
mm-hmm.
and how do people react once
do
that
Do you revert?
Yeah. So that's why I wanted to, he came from a team that won the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
and that was a good team. So what if he come to this team and it's not it's not going as planned?
I think that's a fair worry.
And I think that's where you lean on the Texans and the organization that they have. And I guess the other guys that you might consider some level of kind of pseudo live wire in the ways in which they can clearly handle this. And one of the things that he talked about, especially in conversation with D'Amico, and I think we'll have an opportunity to hear this as well, is that as long as you put the team first, that D'Amico and this organization works with you, as evidenced by, in the opposite direction, when Deontay Johnson comes in. I think that is exactly the point mm-hmm. that, you know, D'Amico Ryans is making when he goes, hey, it's a clean slate here.
Yeah.
Just come in and essentially, like, you know, just be about the team. And ultimately we saw that Deontay Johnson did not do that, and he was very quickly gone. Seems like CJ fully understands, CJ Gardner-Johnson, that is, hey, I'm always about the team first.
Mm-hmm.
These other things might be whatever, and we can still, you know, quibble about those on the outside looking in. But it seems like, for the most part, he is absolutely, and correct me if you think you mm-hmm. heard anything different in that whole hours-long podcast. This is a dude that's about team first, even in the places where you can see the ways that he misstepped.
So.
The ways that he misstepped were about team first as well.
Yeah, no, I think so.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Really, really dense podcast. I encourage you to listen to it, but we'll give you some more of that audio as we continue on our 4 hours on this Wednesday in the loop on Sports Radio 610. But coming up next, let's get into our question of the day, as we often do. This one, again, inspired by the All-Star game, in which we got a Henry Aaron tribute out there in Atlanta, which I think it took our guy Lopez back to when he was a child, which inspired this. What is your I remember exactly where I was moment from your childhood? 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Go ahead and let us know, and we'll talk about it next. Question of the day, Tom, 713-572-4610. What's your I remember exactly where I was moment from your childhood? 713-572-4610. As All-Star game happened last night in Atlanta, or at least the greater Atlanta area out there in Cobb County at Truist Park,
mm-hmm.
and as part of the celebration and leaning into the Atlanta of it all, and of course continuing to celebrate the baseball, when was this again? Because I'm trying to remember exactly when it happened in the game or during the course of the game.
It was after it started, wasn't it?
I thought so.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
During the game at some point, mm-hmm. and of course my memory fails me as soon as I need to lean upon it, the MLB and Truist Park, like there, they did this wildly innovative and interesting holographic tribute to the late, great Henry Aaron. The man who hit 715 home
Hammer runs. Hammer and Hank is who you're talking about.
That is what people refer to him as, absolutely. Mama named him Henry. I'm going to call him Henry. But Henry Aaron, it was gorgeous. It was an absolutely glorious tribute to a man who is an Atlanta Braves legend. a man who is just a baseball legend in general. And baseball usually does such a great job at celebrating its heroes.
Yeah.
And so you seem to go back in that moment.
Yeah,
huh?
I damn near choked up, to be honest, because this was a time when I was 12 years old. It was 1974, and I remember so many details. I was just almost laughing at it last night as I was watching this. It was a Monday night. I remember the day of the week that it was, because it was kind of like a Monday night football type production that they put in because of him. I don't know if you heard that or not, but it was added. My dad was in his chair, I think drinking a Falstaff. My mom used to knit all the time, so she was on her end of the couch knitting something. I was on the floor because I was the remote control. Back then you had human remote controls. I was on the floor laying down on my stomach with my chin in my hand.
Messing up your eyesight.
Yes, messing up my... If you stand too close, you're going to get sick. And I was 12 years old. It was just all three of us there. I don't know where my brothers and sisters were. It was just all three of us there in that room. And then Hank Aaron did what everybody was... It didn't seem as controversial. You know how it's become like a big controversy now after the fact, you know, that... The people were doing death threats, and there was a lot of pressure on him, and he was losing his hair.
We tend to Disney-ify situations.
In that moment, I just remember he's going to break Babe's record. There wasn't a lot of talk about that.
I wonder if it was also from like a child's perspective, where those things aren't going to stick to you in the same way.
Maybe, but I don't remember that discussion really until years later. But either way, I remember exactly where I was.
You remember seeing them knuckleheads jump on the field?
All of it. The guy running around the bases.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool. I didn't know it was potentially dangerous. But everybody carrying him and all that stuff. So like childhood, I mean, I could paint the exact picture if I was a painter of what I was doing in that moment. The other one that jumps to mind for me is the Rumble in the Jungle.
That's your guy.
I can tell you, we were sitting on my dad and mom's bed, because we were listening to it on the radio. We didn't have the money to go to the closed circuit theater, you know, because that's what you had to do to watch those fights. They didn't have pay-per-view.
Right.
You had to go to a theater.
And which, in a way, was a pay-per-view.
It was, but I mean, you had to get in your car, that's go to right. a theater. There's like three or four of them in the city. And I was just sitting on the bed with Dad, and we're chatting in between rounds about the fight and then getting play-by-play on the radio of the Rumble in the Jungle.
Mm.
do you mind me taking a second to allow people to get mad at me?
Yeah.
You were a little too excited about that. with the Henry Aaron tribute, I thought it was really cool. One thing though is like you got a little clip of the Vin Scully call of it. I did not love the way in which they clipped it, because you talked about that danger that Henry felt on the base
true.
Path.
That's true.
The full call, or they just gave you the What a Marvelous Moment, which of course it does sound incredible, especially for the purposes of the clip. I do think it would have been important to play what Vin said in that moment, which is, quote, a black man is getting a standing ovation in the Deep South for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol. What a marvelous moment for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world. Mm-hmm. I do think that looms much larger than just what a marvelous moment gives it the weight of.
Yeah.
And I think that probably would have been worthwhile in that moment.
Yeah. I think what they were doing, though, is Milo was the Braves announcer.
Right.
And they wanted to give him his due, but they had to throw some Vin Scully in there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm not saying that it was necessarily nefarious in the way that they spliced it up. I think your logic really holds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, I feel like that one lands so much stronger, especially as you talked about, it was very easy for a lot of people, even in the moment, probably to not necessarily consider the gravity of it. And I thought that Vin Scully, in doing what a great broadcaster often does, gives you not just what's happening, but the context of the moment.
Yeah.
It really helps. Anyways. Getting back to the general nostalgia, besides my gripe with
as
my
a
one
child,
little gripe,
this is, that's the key element.
For me, and where did I write this down? Because, of course, I think you'll love this for a couple of reasons. One, the thing that you'll love it for is 2005?
Mm-hmm.
Just as you, within still not being a full-fledged adult?
Yep.
Does that make you feel old?
No, it does.
Very good. Excellent.
Because I was there. I know where you're going.
Here's another one. I vividly remember, like, no one else in the house, just me in the living room with the big booty TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that point, cost a lot of money, even though...
Had a tube.
That's right. Actually, it was a projector. It was like a projection, back projection, or backlit or what have you, watching Vince Young float all over the Rose Bowl in Pasadena to win the national championship for the University of Texas. At that time, I'm living in the Austin area as well. So, like, you know, you just can't help but, like, be drawn into the excitement of it all. And he looked like a damn superhero. There, dude. Like, just that game, that's one of, the, if not the best baseball games, or baseball, college football games I've ever seen.
And it still ranks up there.
Still. And so, like, I vividly remember we used to have, like, a marble, like, a low marble coffee table that I absolutely shouldn't have because it was not attached. It was just using the weight of being marble. But I'd stand on that at moments and jump off and just, like, I felt myself, the energy of the game through the TV in a way as if I was watching it there. And I absolutely was not, but it felt like.
Yeah, mine is not sports related, but it's more pop culture. 1996, when Tupac Shakur died. I remember where I was at. That was kind of like my first major headline, like news break as a kid. Mm-hmm. I forgot how old I was, but I was a kid. I didn't really know what was going on, but I remember that day because I remember sitting by the radio. I remember my dad telling me, Tupac was shot and he's in the hospital and they don't know if he's gonna make it and all this other stuff. So we were sitting by the radio just listening to a hip-hop station at the time, listening for updates, trying to give us updates, and they were playing number Tupac music. And I remember when that news finally came down, it was just like, oh man, I remember my mom being on the phone. She had to call everybody. She was calling everybody to let everybody know.
Dang.
That's the weird part about it, because when you get news like this, you see it on your phone.
Yeah.
And you might text somebody the article and all that stuff. She was getting on the phone like, hey, did you hear about Tupac?
Mm-hmm.
He died.
Oh, my God.
Are there any news items that reach you to a point where you actually get on the phone? Because there's a couple of things that I recall actually getting on the phone.
Yeah.
Because it's not a lot anymore, but there are some things that I will actually call a certain friend that I know this will also touch and talk about.
The last time that happened to me was when Michael Jackson died.
Kobe.
Kobe's a good one.
Kobe one too. But by that time, I feel like news was spreading so fast anyway with just the internet. Mm-hmm. You could just kind of text somebody that. But at the time when Michael Jackson died, I want to say that was 2009. I can't remember what year that was. But at that time, people still wasn't as internet savvy. Mm-hmm. So I had to call my mom, my dad, and all that stuff. Like, hey, did you hear about Michael Jackson?
Yeah. Yeah.
A number of people coming in with, like, just the tried and true ones that you would expect. Obviously, there's a number of people talking about being in their classrooms when somebody wheeled in a TV or came in over the announcements to let them know that, you know, the towers had been hit. Which is funny because that one isn't crystal clear for me. The thing that is crystal clear is watching, like, cable news from San Antonio, because we went to SeaWorld, like, pretty soon thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, being in the hotel room and watching coverage of it. There soon thereafter, I'm like, I don't think that was the actual day. I think it was.
You were at a hotel.
Yes,
that's wild.
No, but not on the day.
I remember that day crystal clear.
Oh God,
because I was supposed to be in school, but they messed up my school situation.
Mm-hmm.
They had me going to another school, so I was waiting on the transfer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was at home when it happened.
Oh wow!
And I remember we didn't have cable, so I wasn't watching cartoons and nothing like that.
Yeah,
and all the channels were showing this building burning.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't know what was going on. I'm like, why they keep showing this?
What's going on?
And then my dad came in the room, was like, hey, we under attack.
Yeah.
And I thought he was talking about
like
us.
You. Yeah.
And then he had to explain what was going on.
Yeah.
And at that point I was glued. And we actually heard the plane that flew, that the one that crashed in
Pittsburgh. Tower. Yeah. Oh no, the one in Pittsburgh.
Pennsylvania. We actually heard that plane. I'd never forget, because I remember in the news saying,
you said it was real low, right?
Yeah, yeah. I remember in the news saying all planes have been flights have been grounded. And then right after that, we heard one so loud to the point we had to look out the window.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And I remember that one.
I think that the added level is just we had not been a place where we'd been attacked in very long. So anything that felt like an attack was like, wait a minute, that can happen over here? Obviously, people coming in with O.J. Simpson. There's shuttle explosion as well. There's a couple, obviously, that depending on your age.
Lopez, where do you remember where you was at when John Lennon died?
Absolutely. I was at A&M.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm always fascinated by that.
I was at A&M, and this was obviously pre-cell phone, or they just had the big brick cell phones like on Wall Street. But it was just more of like a murmur walking to class.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, man, did you hear? And I'm like, what? And so I actually went to Reed McDonald, the journalism building and turned on the TV. Well, the TVs were already on and started, you know, watching all that. Yeah.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into Around the NFL. We'll do it next.